Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. This is our special election edition. We talk to the candidates about the issues important to you and your business. We would like to thank the following sponsor, Follow App. The Follow App is the long-term solution for networking, instantly connecting you to those frequently missed opportunities to find the right referral partner or new client to grow your business. And now, here's your host, Aaron Kozort.
Hello, and welcome to South Haven Business Beat. We thank you for joining us for another episode of our coverage of the 2023 election. Today, we have with us Michael Lee, who is running for sheriff for DeSoto County. Yeah. Michael, thank
glad
you for joining
here.
Us.
Yes, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about yourself, just a little bit of background.
Well, born and raised here in DeSoto County. Went to Hernando High School, grew up at Hernando High School. Family, my daddy was a local business owner, a barber, which we'll may get into that a little bit because people talk about me being a barber, which I am. Moved on Northwest Community College, played on national championship football team there, and you know, my background in law enforcement and everything has been right here in DeSoto County.
As you're running for sheriff, what are the most pressing issues that you see and that are causing you to run for that office?
Well, let me say this to start off. You know, I've actually been in law enforcement. You know, I started off in '86 as a reserve. And I've seen things evolve, you know, since then. And like most people have, you know, we've seen crime pick up. What I see more now than we've had in the past and in the future when we were younger is our school issues, you know, the things that are happening. You know, here we just recently, as I'm also a county 5th district supervisor for District 5, one of the largest districts in DeSoto County, and we just, with the school board, helped them and helped us put more school resource officers in our schools. So safety in our schools is huge. We see what the crime is, and I constantly talk about it. You'll see it in my campaign speeches and all my commercials and things that we do, but it's very important that we take Memphis crime out of DeSoto County's equation. We do not need Memphis crime down here. We want Memphis crime to stay in Memphis. We take care of what we have in DeSoto County. So the pressing issues is crime and securing our schools, securing our teachers and our faculty in our schools is very important to me.
Absolutely. What do you see as the primary role for the sheriff in the county?
Well, I actually know, because I know what the statute says a sheriff's responsibility is, and this is important for the viewing public and everybody to understand the business side of it, because, and this is how I explain it. You know, what we see as the public out here, we see patrol cars. And I'm going to do it with a demonstration, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I use a pie demonstration. And what most people don't understand in this equation on this pie, if you split that pie down the middle, you have patrol cars. So mostly what we see out here, just like in your cities, you see patrol cars. So you think sheriff's patrol, you see sheriff, you see them here, you see them there, you see them in the county, and you think patrol. Sheriff's department's a lot bigger than that. It's a huge business. You have patrol cars, you have fugitive division, you have process serving division, you have your court division, you have your extradition divisions, you have your juvenile detention facility division. I put all that on this side. And it's a big part of that pie, but it's broken down into that section. What a lot of your viewing public don't understand, because most of them do not have to deal with it, is this jail.
Mm.
So when you take that other part of that pie and you start figuring out the business part of it, that part of that pie on this side, the jail, is a 550-bed facility, which is in your county, which is in the taxpayers' county. So most of the general public do not realize the business part of it, because they can only relate to patrol.
Mm-hmm.
They can only relate to, you know, what we see.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you don't see that part of it, and what I've dealt with, you know, as a county 5th district supervisor with the budget end of it, the county budget in DeSoto County is a little over $350 million. That's what our budget is. The Sheriff's Department budget is a little over $33 million. So when you take that, you know, you're talking about a little over 320 or more employees in the Sheriff's Department, because you have your dispatch, that falls in that pie. So everything that you see when you take that $33 million and those 320 employees, that jail is a huge section of that pie. It's half of that pie. And you have a doctor on staff, you have nurses on staff. You know, we have to deal with what we call writs and mental patients and different things like that. We have to make sure your sheriff is responsible for making sure that those people are safe. Mm-hmm. You know, that they are kept safe and that you have to get them from point A to point B. Because you just can't go back here and press a red button and put it on autopilot. You know, so that when you stop and think about the whole picture and what I do and what I know as the sheriff's department, I used to be a county jail administrator. So I know how to run the jail. I know the facilities. And we'll get into all that here in a little bit about, you know, my experience. But that is a huge part of the business part of that. I can tell you this. I can give you a breakdown. The utilities in the jail with energy is about $20,000 a month. At most, especially during winter, runs anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 a month.
Right.
So just that, you know, you're talking between $40,000, $50,000 a month just on utilities.
Yes.
That's real money. That's
right.
Your tax dollars.
Right.
So.
Right. So, from the personal side of things, why did you decide to run for sheriff?
I've been running for sheriff for 30 years. I didn't just wake up and run for sheriff. Let me make this clear, too. No one owes me a favor to run. And there's probably a subliminal message in there somewhere, but nobody owes me a favor to run. Nobody picked up the phone and asked me to run. A lot of the new people here won't understand or didn't know. I actually ran for sheriff back in 03. But you didn't know that, did you?
No, sir.
I ran in 03. At that time, I thought, you know, hey, I've been in law enforcement. I felt like I needed to be sheriff. My heart was leading me to be sheriff. I thought, man, this is what I want to be. And we came close, and I ran against the man that hired me. There was actually three of us in the race. Jim Harris, who was a police chief in Olive Branch, he was there. And we did. We came close. But you know what? As I've grown older and learned more, and especially since I've been the county supervisor for the last 9 years, I wasn't ready then. Mm-hmm. You know, so, God made that aware and put us in the positions we were in. I went back to work. I became jail administrator. I was commander of Metro Narcotics. I've done all those things. I learned a lot more than what I knew when I ran for sheriff in 03.
Right.
So when Bill Rasko made the decision that he was not going to run again, he announced it in a board meeting. And I was either looking at paperwork or something, but man, my head popped up and it's just like, you know, light went on. I said, it's time.
Yeah.
And the word that we use is what I have done with the County Board of Supervisors and what I'm doing right now and what I've done in the past with my law enforcement makes me uniquely qualified.
Sure.
Because I know the budget, I know the buildings, I know the layout, I've done the job. So when that happened, I knew right then in my heart, you know, this is where I need to be and it was time for me to run.
So part of what you've already discussed, and maybe you want to go into it a little bit further, what about your background makes you the best person for the job?
Okay. Let me start from the beginning. You know, I told you, you know, I went to Northwest, and my daddy was a barber in Hernando. You know, he had a business there, and it was a thriving barber business. I grew up in the barber business as a kid. I'd go up there and sweep the floor and shine shoes, and, you know, I cut my first head of hair when I was 12. So, you know, I thought, well, this is, I'm going to follow his footsteps. Well, when I was 19 years old and I was at Northwest, my daddy was killed in a car wreck on his day off, you know, on a Monday. So with that being said, we had to go to work. You know, I had a mother, a little sister. My brother was already married, Harvey, who was the supervisor prior to me, and we'll discuss that a little bit. But I started cutting hair, you know, got my license, cutting hair. Started cutting the sheriff's hair. Started cutting deputies' hair, you know, because the shop that I was in was right there, close to the jail,
right,
at the sheriff's office.
Right.
They just walked to me. And I'd even cut inmates here that were getting ready to go to trial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd ask me to do that and clean them up, so I would do that. So one day the sheriff said, you need to come be a detective for me. And I thought, all right, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm going to be a detective. You know, I've seen it on TV. You know, I've watched all these shows. And so I actually started out in 86, started working as a reserve because you could work. He had reserve programs back then. And 87, I worked as a reserve. I was working both, cutting hair and working reserve, just to see if that's something I was really wanting to do before
sure.
I committed to go to the academy. Well, in 88, they hired me. I started working, and you had a year to go to the academy. I went in 89. I went to the academy, the Mississippi Law Enforcement Officer Training Academy. I graduated top of my class. And I came back thinking, okay, I'm ready for this detective gig. and they stuck me on patrol. They put me out on patrol in Eudora, which, you know, I understood now. Didn't then, but I understood now, you know, that, you know, the law enforcement academy was basic law enforcement, and that's what you learn. You learn basics, you know, and then you have to get out in the real world, and then you start learning things in the real world.
Right.
So I had an FTO. I had people who trained me. I learned things. I moved up. I moved up from the patrol division to a sergeant's position, to a lieutenant's position, to a captain's position, to a commander's position. I've been to every school that you can think of, from criminal investigation. I actually made it to detective. So I worked criminal investigations, I worked homicides, I worked civil homicides in this county. I've testified in courts, I presented a case to the DA's office, to grand jury, to trial. You know, I have actually had to go and testify and trial on homicide cases, rape cases, burglary cases, armed robbery cases. I've done all those. And then I became commander of Metro Narcotics. I've worked undercover cases, made a lot of undercover buys and things up here in South Haven, Horn Lake, Olive Branch. One of the biggest ones we ever did was in Hernando, Mississippi at the Kroger store. Nobody knew he did it. It was in the Kroger parking lot. But I say all these things to let you know that this was my background. And then I became an assistant chief. And then, you know, I ran. I came back, you know, and I became the jail administrator. So I was the jail administrator for the jail, which, by the way, it's a 550-bed facility. I'd mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. We probably have right now, and I try to check every day, about 420 in jail there. And since then, as a county board of supervisors, there's a lot of things that we have done, you know, to enhance the operations of the jail. We moved the justice court. I'm on the committee with the board of supervisors. We just built a brand new justice court, moved it from South Haven to Hernando and connected it to the jail, and that was a security issue.
Absolutely.
Because we were transporting between 60 and 70 a day. Remember I told you we have to get them to point A to point B. They got to go for their initial appearances. So not only was that a security risk for the officers, but it was also for the public.
Sure.
So we built a new justice court, state-of-the-art, connected it to the jail, and we got a walkway, so now we can have jailers walk them over for their initial appearances instead of having that freeze up patrol to get out more in the streets so
Absolutely.
We can take care of business.
Absolutely.
So.
We're taking a second to thank our sponsors. Wisdom Integrators. Are you a business owner and is technology getting in the way of your business? If your computers are slow, your website is horrible, or your business needs more efficiency, then it's time to reach out to Aaron Kozort and Wisdom Integrators. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources. Now back to South Haven Business Beat.
What issues do you see specifically in DeSoto County that need to be addressed?
Well, being who I am with county supervisors, there's a lot of issues. You know, one is, and I mentioned it earlier, here's what we don't have. You know, let's talk about school for a second. All right, we just added this past Monday, and you'll hear about it. We added five more school resource officers on the ones that I told you we added earlier. You know, after Uvalde, Texas, we wanted to make sure we met with the school board and we met with Corey Elson and Superintendent of Education to make sure that we didn't have these issues. By the way, I was a school resource officer, one of the first. When I was a school resource officer, we rode, you know, and I went from one school to the other, you know, which left this one wide open, or I went to the elementary school, which left those two wide open. You know, and that's what I was telling you earlier, things have evolved, you know, into where we are today. So we wanted to make sure, and we did, and we put a school resource officer in every school. We have two outline schools. Lewisburg has a brand new middle school, which is in Cochran, and the proximity of that. So the school board asked us, could we provide, with their help, you know, and it's a funding issue, you know, it's all about money. So with a funding issue, they help provide funding, and then we provide the officers to make sure that we have two now at Cochran.
Gotcha.
We have two at Center Hill Elementary because of where it's the proximity of this, which is far east side of the county. So we put two there. They wanted two in Horn Lake schools. We took over the Horn Lake schools from Horn Lake. So they wanted two in the high school. So we got two in the high school there, and we got two in Lake Carmen high schools. So I have a program that I've already started setting up. It's called the Guardian Program, which I want to put stability. You know, right now we're roving. I'm not taking the SROs away. But what I want to do, again, it's come to this, but you saw what happened in Nashville. I know most people did, you know, where the girl walks in, shoots front door, and then she goes in. I don't want to be in a position to where somebody could say, well, it could have been worse. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're going to have stability. So we're going to have a guardian division of certified law enforcement officers stable at the front, to where we can make sure we monitor who comes in and out of there with the state-of-the-art camera system, which they're working on that now, tied back into our dispatch. And we need a rover. We need to make sure we have a rover. And the SRO now can move around, and he can start interacting with the children. And I'd like to put them involved with what we don't do anymore, which, by the way, I did. I taught the Be a Winner program, which is a drug education program in our schools. Mm-hmm. Most people remember the DARE programs. Mm-hmm. The SRO program was designed to teach anti-bullying, self-esteem issues, and things like that, which we taught. And it's an officer who teaches that. We no longer do that. So the things that we need to do is we need to concentrate and secure our schools completely. We don't need it to where someone comes along and, you know, and again, it's a resistance. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to come down there and harm our teachers, harm our children, harm our faculty, they're going to be met with resistance. I don't want an SRO to be over here on the football field or on the band field. He's doing his job. I'm not saying he's not. He's roving. Right. And then somebody comes through that front door like in Nashville, right. And then he gets there and he stops the threat, and we say, well, it could have been worse.
Right.
Follow me? So we're going to have to work on that. And I've talked with school boards and, some school board officials. I've talked with Corey Olson, and we're going to sit down once I become sheriff, and we're going to put these programs in place, and we're going to come up with the funding and figure out what it's going to take. Since I've been in office in the county, I can only count for what I've done, but we haven't raised taxes in 9 years, and I'm on my ninth year as a county supervisor. But totally, we haven't raised taxes in the county in 19 years.
Right.
And we don't plan on doing it now.
Right.
We're going to make it work. So now, Memphis, it's the same principle. You know, the resistance, you know, of what's coming down from Memphis. I don't want Memphis crime to come down here and commit a crime, period. If they commit a crime, then that means they've committed a crime on you, they committed a crime on our property, our family. They've committed a crime, which means we're going to deal with it, but now we have to lock them up. We've got to deal with them all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're not building jails for Memphis. I want Memphis to take care of Memphis. I want to work across the lines with Memphis. I think Memphis has kind of realized that now. I think they probably realized a long time ago, but Memphis has to take care of Memphis. DeSoto County has to take care of DeSoto County. Tunica has to take care of Tunica, Marshall County. We are right in the middle. If you draw a circle, DeSoto County, where we are, North Mississippi, we're right dead in the center and we're surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we want to take care of our problems here. We want to take care of our issues. We want to take care of our schools. And we want Memphis to take care of theirs. I want to build a resistance, which is a perimeter patrol division, that keeps Memphis in Memphis. If every time you looked up, you saw a patrol car, even in your neighborhood, you're probably going to get to go commit that crime somewhere else. Okay? You're not going to fix their hearts.
Right.
You're not going to change their hearts. Okay? But you can change their direction. And so that's my goal. Let's change their direction. If they commit a crime on us, then we'll handle it. But my goal is to keep them at bay, keep them from coming down here. Let's deal with the problems and the issues we have in DeSoto County.
As we think about, you know, and wrap up, any last things, any things we haven't covered that you want to convey to the voter?
I will. You know, here's what my biggest plan is, and one of them. You know, law enforcement, and you see what's happened in law enforcement all over the country, we've kind of separated ourselves. You know, I kind of look at it sometimes as the stormtrooper mentality. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to another country or somewhere, but, you know, they want to scare you into doing good. You know, when law enforcement pulls you over, they want to scare you. You know, we're in a free country. You know, we want to live free. You know, we get upset with law enforcement officers, especially if they're not kind to us or they mistreat us or don't, you know, because we're taxpayers and we deserve more than that, you know, and that's a fact. So what we want to do is bring communities back together.
Mm-hmm.
And so with communities back together, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know how many churches you have in DeSoto County?
I do not.
We have 267 on roll in DeSoto County. So one of my goals and missions are is to bring a faith-based youth initiative program together, because what we're seeing and what we see in our jails, I want to catch these kids when they're 3 instead of waiting until they're 23. You know, we're raising them up to lock them up. So it's important with a law enforcement officer, and I have one in place ready to do this, we need to come together as a community and start working together as a community. We can reduce crime, but we have to start on the root of the problem. We can't wait till they get up here and then try to save them. And so I have that in place. I've actually talked to pastors. I've talked to church leaders, deacons, and people who are ready to come together to start this mission field in DeSoto County. So that's one of the things we want to work on. So that right there alone, if we could do those programs, we can do our perimeter patrol, and then we could get in our schools and help protect those, then, you know, we don't have to build more jails. You know,
right.
A jail right now costs you probably around $25 million. Let me tell you what I did see, and we used to do this, and I was over the neighborhood watch programs. We had 117 active neighborhood watch programs in DeSoto County. Do you know who started the neighborhood watch programs?
I do not.
The National Sheriff's Association. They started it because they saw the need to get communities involved because crime was getting out of hands in these communities, so they needed what? They needed eyes and ears.
Right.
Period.
Right.
So that we trained our neighborhood watch groups how to identify and be eyes and ears for the community. And so with cell phones we have today, I mean, you know, you can be in a subdivision or an area or a neighborhood that quick. But who better knows what's going on in their neighborhood except the people who live there?
Absolutely.
So we're going to get our neighborhood. We don't have any, by the way. As a matter of fact, since I've started the sheriff's race, I started my sheriff's run when he announced it. It was August of 21. I don't take office until August. I mean, until January of 24. And then the election is 2 years, August of, you know, 23. So
right.
I've been running for 2 years.
Right.
I said 30 years. That's because that's how long I've been wanting to do this. But I've actually been running this race for 2 years. But we don't have any. And since I've started this, I know Horn Lake, some people who are on my team, have started some neighborhood watch programs. I know South Haven people who are on my team have started a new neighborhood watch program. So I think we have four active neighborhood watch programs now since we started back up. I don't know if you watched the news the other night on Channel 5. My wife brought it to my attention. But guess what? Memphis sees the need to start the neighborhood watch programs back up. You can pull it up. They've got their officer in place. They need help from the communities. You know, we have got to come together as a community. We cannot separate our law enforcement. We have
right.
to know who our officers are. They have to know who their people are. And then once we come together again as a community in DeSoto County, we're gonna be fine. Now, we're gonna be perfect? No, but we're gonna make it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Michael, we really appreciate you stopping in.
Yes, sir.
And we thank you for watching another episode of South Haven Business Beat. And we hope that you'll continue to tune in and check out all of the videos that we've done on all of the elected officials running in this 2023 election so that you can make an informed decision. But most importantly, we hope you will go out and vote. Thank you, and this is Aaron Cosworth with South Haven Business Beat.
We would like to thank the following sponsor, Pure Focus Media. Have an event coming up? Let us capture all the moments that will create memories that will last a lifetime with our professional photographer and videographer. Also announcing our new digital selfie photo booth. Book with us today. Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. This podcast is brought to you by the South Haven Chamber of Commerce. We know relationships create commerce. Thank you for joining us. Like what you see and hear? Please tell others and subscribe.